Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady now joined by Sam Mellinger. Hello, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing well. You?
Doing good. Doing, I'm happy.
That's what I'm matters.
Happy today. Glad you were able to make it in before Nate Buchady leaves for training camp with Sporting Kansas City. He leaves tomorrow and won't be back until the Big 12 tournament, so we'll miss him. But
it's wishful thinking on your part.
Doing some good work. What's that?
It's wishful thinking on
That's
your
what
part.
Was put on my desk.
I don't, in fact, leave until Friday. Huh. I'll be here Friday.
When do you come back?
I'll be gone for a week, but I will be on the show with you Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week from Tucson.
Agree to disagree. But, Sam, glad you can say
Oh, yeah, Nate, I forgot to tell you.
So, yeah, but you really won't be here for Sam next week. You won't see him?
No, I won't be on the show next Monday.
Okay.
Taking a couple vacation days,
right.
Monday and Tuesday.
Why is Jake smiling?
You can at least enjoy that part of it.
What's so funny back there, by the
way? Oh, no, just good day. Mm-hmm. I didn't know this was all happening. Did you send an email out?
Shut up.
Yes. No, wait, did you?
I sent like three emails. Oh, I almost
What? You filthy mouth.
Wow. Oh, it wouldn't be the first time
today. I'm just trying to be like the bump music.
I really played the BS on it.
Yep.
Oh, sorry. No, I haven't, Drake. I know.
I almost called you guys a-holes just now.
You should.
Man.
We are.
You are.
Well,
that's
Sam.
That's why I love you.
Don't get caught up in this, though. Don't get caught up in this stuff. The foul mouth language.
Just outside of the fray. I've never cussed on your show.
You should.
By the way.
I think you have.
Yeah, you absolutely have.
I think you have.
I like for a couple seconds, you believed me.
No,
wait a minute.
Oh, yeah. Wait,
we got you. Yeah. Remember your suspension?
All I remember is like saying it and realizing I said it, but none of you guys reacted.
Well,
so I was like, you know, maybe I got away with it.
No.
Maybe. That's how you're supposed to, like, if something happens, not add any attention to it and just like
keep on rolling.
It's like if you're on stage and you make a mistake, you miss a note, just keep on going. Don't draw attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And plus, I mean, Jeff Chidiya said way worse.
Twice.
Or you have the clip or you can ask if it's okay to cuss. Like I have in the past, we've played that before.
Yeah,
Stephen, you know,
makes sure he's okay before he does it.
Are we off there? Because sometimes, like I said, I need to express myself via curse words, and it feels good to say it into a microphone when you know that you're not on the air, but you always have to ask.
All right, can I cuss? Can I cuss right now?
Yeah.
Motherfucker. All right.
I don't know what he said there.
Mm-hmm.
It's beeped out.
So let's talk college basketball. Is that all right with you, Sam?
Sounds groovy.
Let's start with... Well, let's start with Missouri because mm-hmm. they won in dramatic fashion. So many damn things happened in that game. It's hard for me to remember everything. But what I do remember is Missouri was up 12 with about 90 seconds left. Mm-hmm. And Gabe DeArmon sent a tweet out, I think, start the bus, this game's over, Missouri's got four wins in a row now. And from that tweet, it went straight downhill, and his mentions were awesome. The wild accusations of him jinxing Mizzou, but that was funny. But hey, who didn't think Mizzou had the win? We're sitting there watching that damn game, and you know, a couple of funky things happened. They were having trouble inbounding the ball, a couple turnovers, Mississippi State hits a big shot, and I looked at my side and go, they're going to blow this effing game. Because there was a point where you had this dread, like, they can't get the ball in bounds.
Yeah.
They can't. And then at one point, they just threw the ball away in hopes that somebody would be there, and they weren't there. And, oh, no, they really are. But then they got the ball with with a three-point lead. Cassius Robertson turns the ball over. Mississippi State hits it. Tied. And then they have a terrible end-of-game possession where Jordan Guyess has to throw up a desperation three. You go to overtime, and like I told Nate earlier, I didn't feel good about it. You think that the team that has the momentum, that wants to be there, that's happy to be there, is going to win, and the team that's still shell-shocked at what just happened, they're going to lose. And Mississippi State jumps out to a five-point lead in overtime. Then I'm declaring it's over for Missouri. They finish the game on a 10-1 run. They get the win. what do you take away from all of that?
Well, I think what's true, and other people have made this point, but I want to emphasize it, is that, and I'm sorry, I'm fighting a cold, playing hurt.
Fighting.
That is a game that Mizzou never wins, right?
Right.
That's a game that, you know, that you lose in like this heartbreaking fashion. You spend the rest of the week, you know, kicking yourself.
Right.
And that's a game that Mizzou loses. Well, they never get up 12, you know, with right. a couple minutes left last year, right? Yeah. But, you know, I think that maybe this is like the journalist in me, but, you know, you look at like microcosms of the season. And if you think about all the hope that was around Michael Porter Jr., and then he goes down, and there's a certain part of you that thinks, you know, if you knew before the season that Michael Porter Jr. would play 2 minutes, you know, this far into the year, you know, maybe he comes back, maybe he doesn't, you know, you'd think you were sunk, right? You'd think like maybe we can get into the NIT or something like that. It's my point is like they've pulled that out. You know, that's a season that Mizzou never makes, right? When the, you know, I don't know how to rank it, but one of the best three players in the country for sure, you know, is out. You think you're done. And in that game,
you know, to prove your point,
plays off.
Even with Porter Jr., I kind of, I tried to put the expectations, I think, in check before the season. If you guys remember, I said, I think. It's what's a reasonable expectation is to hope this team could finish in the top 4 or 5 in the conference and just make the NCAA tournament and see what happens there.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of what I thought might happen if they had Michael Porter Jr.
Right.
I can't believe this.
Right.
Without him.
Yeah, and I just I keep going back to the coach. You know, I just think that was such a good hire. I think he is such a good – he's a good man. He's a good motivator. You know, has – I think as players, like, you know, you find a different level. Like, you see this with, I think, with the best coaches. Bill Snyder does it all the time. You know, players find a level that they're not expected to have. Players find a level that maybe when they got to college, they didn't know that they had. And I think that Konzo's doing that. And, you know, I can't get past that. That when is the last time a Mizzou team, a Mizzou coach, would be able to win that game?
I mean,
right?
Yeah. I mean, look, Missouri doesn't win that game ever.
No.
You know?
So, should Michael Porter Jr. come back?
Oh, man. So, I have two answers for this. The first is, if I was Michael Porter Jr., I don't think that I would. Like, there's so much money. You know, it seems like he can only hurt himself. And part of this is a back injury is like, you know, if we were talking about a knee, if we were talking about anything else, but a back injury is, you know, if you've ever had a bad back, you can't brush your teeth sometimes. And, you know, to have a back surgery and then come back and play college basketball, you know, for free and all those things, I don't know. I'd have to be talked into that.
What if he's medically cleared for contact and everything's fine?
Yeah. The second answer is he should do whatever he wants. If he's cleared, if he's not cleared, there's no chance,
right.
You know, but if he's cleared and look like, you know, he's unique, he has, you know, much more personal stake in this than, you know, any typical, but really any one and done, you know, superstar kid, right?
You can't compare it to anything.
Yeah. His brother, his dad, it's, you know, where he grew up, all those things. So if he wants to play. You know, God bless. I think it'd be a hell of a story. He's exactly what they need. You know, I mean, he's a scorer.
Here's what drives me effing crazy. Yeah. That there's I saw that ESPN Game Day that just shot it down. No way he should come back. There's and Seth Greenberg, who's not one of my favorites anyway, because right. of just when we've had him on the show, he just can't wait. To talk down to you and ask you if you've ever coached basketball. Have you? You know, Nate, what was it that you asked him, Nate?
The dumbest thing was I asked him about there was some team in the Big 12 that was really, that couldn't win games on the road. And I asked him, why do they struggle so much on the road? And he goes, winning games on the road's tough. I don't know if you've ever coached college, but have you ever coached college basketball? No. And I was like, so you have to coach college basketball to get the concept that it's hard to win games on the road.
And that's like the third time I've heard him do that in an interview, which is like you ask him something tough. Well, have you ever, nope, haven't. So got to go. All right. Thanks. So anyway, the point, and so he's, he actually said, because you can argue, okay, so like Jay Williams, he gives his opinion. He had a devastating injury that ended his career. Yeah. It's a much different situation, but he's from a player's perspective, whatever else. But considering he's a Duke guy, I mean, I don't recall him like trying to keep Kyrie Irving from coming back and playing at Duke because it's Duke, of course. Yeah. Everyone should just want to play for Duke. Yeah. And so Seth Greenberg, and to be honest with you, I don't see how you could help him. What are you? Kidding me? Like what
That's
you just said?
Baffling thing to say.
What do they need? Yes. What are the two things that they need more than anything? A guy that can score and a guy that can handle the basketball.
Yes. No, he's exactly what.
How about this? I'd settle just to have him available for plays to inbounds the ball in the last 5 minutes of the game to break the press. Yes. Just give me that.
Yes.
And so when I say for him to come back, I'm not talking about him playing 40 minutes, 35, 30, 25. If he could come off the bench or start or whatever and play 15 minutes or play 20 minutes and just help them and score a little here and there and help them in the last 5 minutes of games where they're desperate, then it's worth it. And on top of that, if he wants to play for his dad and play with his brother at a school where his aunt is the women's coach and his sisters play there and he grew up there and that's home for him and he wants to leave some type of legacy, I get it because no one else can compare themselves. No one else can put themselves in his shoes.
Yes.
Right?
If he wants to play 4 years there, you know, God bless. But when I saw that, I wasn't watching game day when Seth Greenberg said that, but when I first saw like the tweet of somebody like, and it was just like a straight quote.
Right.
I was like, that's gotta be made up.
No.
Like, there's no way a human being said that.
Well, you never coached.
Right. Yeah. How many games do you coach?
That's true.
And it's like exactly what they need.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And he can provide.
I don't
and he
see
wouldn't.
How he helps them.
Yeah. Like what are you?
Well, so, and the thing God, is God. Like, we're not talking about Silvio De Sousa here.
Right.
You know? Yes. Like, Silvio De Sousa is going to be a good player, probably, you know, by the time it's all said and done. But he should be in high school right now, and he's like a top 100 kid. He's somewhere in the top 100. We're talking about, like, maybe best player in the country. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking one of those guys. Mm-hmm. Coming in. We're not talking about somebody that's just like a top 100 kid.
Look, the nickname was too much. They're talking about a guy that scouts nicknamed Baby Durant.
Right.
But he can't help.
Right. What are you talking
throw off the
about?
Chemistry of the team, man.
Yeah. I mean, you come and make. Wait a minute, you're not supposed to make shots. We're supposed to go to a 6 minute drought in offense.
If you want to go like super negative about the return, I think what you wonder is, you know, here's a team that's built themselves around like defensive, you know, that's their identity.
Right.
That's how they're going to win. And I have no idea. Like, all I've seen of Michael Porter Jr. is 2 minutes and mixtapes. And there's not a lot of defense in any of that. So he may be a great defender. I don't know. But you wonder, you haven't played in that long, coming off of surgery, how well can you defend, right? You also wonder, rest of the team, you know, okay, here's our guy. He's going to get us 25 a night. You know, I can step back a little. You know, like mentally you kind of, you see that. When players get hurt,
I think that would have happened from the beginning.
But well, I think that's what happened is that he got hurt and other guys have stepped up. So I just, if you're going to go again, if you're going to go the Seth Greenberg route and go super negative about this, I think you make the point that, you know, now all this progress they've made, guys are just going to expect him to do it all and step back a little bit. I don't think that'll happen. I'm just saying that would be the negative.
They've all developed, they've developed their game, developed their roles on this team as far as having confidence and knowing. Because now they know they can win without him, because they have.
For sure.
They're an NCAA tournament team. If they were struggling and they weren't an NCAA tournament team and they had this mindset, we need him to make the tournament. We need him because we're losing our season. Yeah. That would be one thing, but they don't need him. They're in the NCAA tournament.
I do think, I said this earlier, I do think there's, again, to be clear before I say any of it, he helps the team. Like, it's a net gain. Adding one of the best players in the country to your team makes the team better. I do think there can be some issues of maybe guys that in the past, let's use Cassius Robertson for an example. He takes some really, really tough shots, right? And he makes a decent amount of them. If all of a sudden you've got Michael Porter Jr. on the court, does the thought process change at all in his mind that maybe I shouldn't be taking this shot now? Mm-hmm. Maybe I should be deferring a little bit more. We see that sometimes when new elements get added to the mix, guys have to kind of rediscover where they fit. Like, if I was option number one, am I option number two now? Yeah. Am I option one and a half? You know, like, where? And that's that. I'm just saying that could be a challenge. I'm not saying again that it's going to make him worse, but I do think that could be. And I will be interested to see this too. Like, for Michael Porter Jr., we've seen some players that were close to the finish line of their one and done year start to become a little tentative. Is he going to be hesitant? Is he going to be like, you know what? I don't want to, even if it's in the back of his mind, I don't want to mix it up in the paint at all because I can't. I want to play, but I also don't want to screw up my future, you know. And sure, I'll be interested to see how he handles that, you know, as he plays. Maybe that won't be a factor in his mind at all. Maybe he's like, man, I've been wanting to play so bad for the past year, and I finally get to get out there. I'm going balls to the wall. You know, I don't know. It's just going to be interesting to see how all that comes together.
I'd rather find out.
Of course.
No, there's no question.
You know how dumb it would be if they went out and lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament and Michael Porter Jr. was cleared and he wanted to play. Oh, you know what? Well, chemistry, nope. We're not going to see each other.
No,
because that's what some people are suggesting.
Yeah, and that's absurd. But, you know,
about that chemistry thing, like what you've been saying this the whole time about, this is a unique situation. You know, there's no real comp for this particular situation. And that chemistry thing, there's no doubt that, Nate, what you just said is true, that anytime you bring any player into any team, there's an adjustment period that happens. There's just no question about that. But that might be like a huge concern if there was a different dynamic. Like, if Michael Porter Jr. didn't spend his whole press conference the other day talking about, let's talk about how well this team is doing now. Like, that's the focus. You guys are losing focus. Like, I've just been having fun watching this team. Like, I think that's genuine. I don't think somebody told him, you know, be sure to, you know, congratulate your teammates. Be sure to talk about them. Like, I think that's real. If you watch him on the bench, you know, I think that there's a real, and this is one of those things that happens in college, much more than the pros, obviously. But I think that there's this chemistry thing might be a bigger issue if Michael Porter Jr. was just, you know, a prick. And, if his teammates didn't like him, if he wasn't bought in, you know, but none of that's true.
Another thing I think could be a big issue if we were talking about Missouri being like a top two or three seed, you know, and like, hey, this team's got a real chance to go to the Final Four. And, you got to wonder about throwing. Well, right now they're projected to be, what, about a seven seed, you know, a team that's going to make it to the second game of the tournament and then probably have to pull off a big upset. So what are we risking here?
Yeah.
We're risking the possibility of this team being a team that's probably not expected to make it out of the first weekend to possibly being a team that can make a run to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, or further. You know, to me, the downside of him, what's the downside?
Right.
Like, you know, we're not talking about a team that's supposed to be a one seed going into the tournament.
Put it in the shoes of who they might play in the NCAA tournament.
I was just going to, yes.
Do you think Duke or Kansas or any of these teams look at it? Oh, you know what? I really hope they play Michael Porter Jr. because they could upset chemistry.
Right.
Or they think they're saying, you know what? We really don't want nothing to do with Missouri plus Porter Jr. in the second round.
Yes. They're going to be, whoever plays them is going to be, we have to play a seven seed that just added Michael Porter Jr.
It's going to be a weird.
That's not fair. They're going to complain about it, whoever gets it.
Of course they are.
We always talk about this. The tournament committee will, the first time in my conscience that happened was when Cincinnati had Kenyon Martin. That was forever ago. And they dropped him because Kenyon Martin broke his leg.
Yeah.
I've never, like, has this ever happened the other way? Like, do you get seated higher than your body of work because the committee sees, well, they just added the number two or three pick in the
country? See, when Kyrie came back, but Duke was already
They would have been one.
They were already high.
So I literally don't know the answer to that.
I think you have to see.
Does that make them a four or five?
You have to see him play before you can't just go, well, they've added him, so we think it's going to make him better.
Sure.
But if they add him, they go beat Kentucky by 20. Well, maybe
he scores 23 on 16 shots or something.
That's what I guess what irritates is just the condescending tone from people like Jimmy Dykes and Seth Greenberg. Why would you want to come back? Well, maybe this kid wants to play with his brother.
Yes.
And wants to play for his dad.
Right.
And play for the school that he grew up rooting for. And guess what? A 19-year-old kid or whatever, there's kind of some attraction coming back February 24th and playing at Kentucky against a whole bunch of the kids that he played with and against in the AAU.
Hey,
people are human. Didn't they kind of a big deal?
Yeah. Think about it this way, too. Maybe he loves to play basketball.
Right.
This Salvador Perez wants to go play winter ball, and the Royals have to try to talk him out of it. And we don't sit there and go, this damn Salvador Perez, why, you know, like it's like, hey, this is actually pretty awesome. They got some guys on the Royals team that love to play baseball.
Yeah.
And even when it's in the offseason, what do they want to do? They want to go play more baseball. Right. Like, sometimes that's kind of a good thing.
And if he's not, and if he's not medically cleared, that's fine, too. He tried. He didn't. He wasn't able to come back. Hopefully he has a great career in the NBA, and Missouri is still a tournament team that is going to be fun to watch in March. Yep. And so either way, there's nothing bad about this for Mizzou, but again, the bottom line is this. Konzo Martin's done a phenomenal job.
Oh, my God.
Are there flaws? Sure. He doesn't have a point guard, really. He's got a thin bench. He's just been terrific.
They're 17-8, and they're 7-5 in the conference. Okay. And they were the worst team in the nation.
If anybody saw Mizzou the last few years and then watches them this year and doesn't think Konzo Martin's a hell of a coach, you know.
Right.
Come on. I don't know how Porter helps him.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe if you would have coached like Seth Greenberg, you'd know. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So Missouri gets the win in overtime. 89-85 over Mississippi State. They are 17-8, 7-5 in the SEC, and now they will have another rematch, this time against Texas A&M, coming up tomorrow at Mizzou Arena, with a chance for another big win and another step towards the NCAA tournament. Let's talk about Kansas and Kansas State. Kansas loses at Baylor.
Yes, sir.
And how many in a row had Kansas won against Baylor?
11, I believe.
11 in a row. So that comes to an end in Waco over the weekend. As that's right, Scott Drew. Baylor wins 80-64. Sam Mellinger, your thoughts on where Kansas is right now?
That was a great drop there.
I know the young people call them haters. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's great. All right. Sorry, Scott Drew threw my train of thought for a loop there.
He does that to a lot of people.
He does. He does indeed. All right, so my thoughts are, let's start with, which one do you want to start with? You usually ask me. I'm asking you. Turn it around.
Do you believe, like, what's your official prediction right now? Because I asked these guys earlier. Do you believe now that Texas Tech is going to win the conference outright, or do you still think Kansas has a push in them and they're going to end up at least with a share of the title?
I think they'll share. Yeah.
I predicted. Yeah. That's what did you say, Nate? You said,
if I had to predict now, I would say Texas Tech's going to win it outright.
Okay. And then Jake and I say shared. And so we agree with you. So you go against Nate. Now it's you against Nate on each side of the fence, and you can be further
be fight?
Apart. Your world's apart right now, what you think.
I mean, Texas Tech still, I know West Virginia's, you know, no stranger to a blown lead and all those things, but they still have to play in Morgantown. And, you know, that game in Lubbock is obviously where this is going to swing. We've seen it
for so long.
I mean, can
Kansas get a share if they don't win that game in Lubbock?
Probably not. You know, I assume that the Big 12 would still give them a share if they lost both to Texas Tech but had the same conference record.
Oh, they would.
Like, yeah. Yep. The conference of one true champion cannot wait to crown multiple champions in whatever sport they can find, right?
Man, but if they tied and it's a true round robin where everyone plays the same schedule and one team swept the other.
Oh, they get made fun of forever. There was a year a long time ago where when they didn't have the round robin and KU lost at Texas. Mm-hmm. They lost in Austin. And shared the Big 12 championship.
They were the
2 seed in the Big 12 tournament. You know, like, whatever. Like, that'd be the shared conference title that maybe you wouldn't count. But we just seen
I think
this
that every time that happened to Kansas
years?
During the stretch, they've gone on to beat that team in the Big 12 tournament.
But what
which is what KU fans kind of held on to.
What other sport would do that?
I don't know. I assume college football would do some.
Well, college football, I mean, yeah, the Big 12, now they have a conference championship game in the Big 12, even if the teams aren't tied.
Right. No, but if you're tied in a division in college football, whoever won the game goes to the championship game.
Right, but like you know, that was the whole thing with the year that they launched the One True Champion motto. TCU and Baylor tied in football, and TCU won the head to head, and the conference and the commissioner refused to declare a champion. They were co-champs, you know. So that's the way they do it. And the reason they do it is because they want to give as many trophies out as possible.
Do you
coaches
think
don't want
coaches,
trophies.
It's coaches. Do you think it should be a shared title if one team swept the other and they played the same conference schedule?
No.
Jake, do you believe that?
No.
Nobody does.
Yeah, it's not.
The Big 12 does.
No, they don't. I don't think they believe that that's how it should be. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're in on the joke.
Yeah. Right.
They're serving the interests of the coaches. They'll sit there and stand in front of you and tell you how they believe it, but they don't.
There's no way that they believe that.
I don't think it's going to happen anyways. If Kansas loses that game, they're going to have to make up two games somewhere else.
Yes.
And I just...
With six to play,
and I don't see it.
Well, five to play.
And here's what... Texas Tech's performance at K-State has swayed me a little bit, and maybe I'm overreacting because so far K-State has just laid eggs against the top three teams in the Big 12, so maybe I should take it with a grain of salt. But that game Saturday night was the kind of game that all these teams that have had a chance to knock off Kansas, that's where they puke on their shoes. You know, Kansas lost earlier in the day. We got a chance to go up. Then they go lose, you know, to a team they shouldn't lose to. And Texas Tech didn't do that. They throttled K-State, and that has me thinking, and here's the other thing. Texas Tech, the way they are constructed and the way they play, are much better built for consistency than Kansas because they hang their hat on their defense. They are, according to Ken Pom, the third best defensive team in the entire country, mm-hmm. behind only Virginia and Cincinnati. And Cincinnati, by the way, undefeated in their conference right now. And Virginia's running away with the ACC. So they hang their hat on defense and that old adage that, you know, defense is consistent. Mm-hmm. Whereas KU, they have a bad shooting night like they did against Baylor. They're going to lose.
Yeah, they got to hit shots.
You know, and so I just feel like they're, if I had to predict which team is more likely to trip up a couple more times the rest of the year, it's Kansas. Now, the only thing you got is, it's also Kansas, and it's Bill Self, and sometimes they find a way to win games even when they're not supposed to. So it would be the most Kansas thing ever for them to go down to Lubbock and win that game, right?
Yep. No, I mean, this is a total – if we were talking about Texas Tech and Texas, or Texas Tech and literally any other school in the league, I'd be like, well, Texas Tech, they're going to win it by at least a game.
Right.
You know, maybe more.
Right.
But it's – like you said, it's Kansas. I mean, I've seen this too many times. Like, I'm not dismissing the possibility that Texas Tech is going to win by 14 in Lubbock, you know, and win the league by two games or whatever. I'm not, you know, that absolutely could happen and wouldn't be shocking at all at this point. I just, to predict it, like, that more likely than not, I just, you know, they're still Kansas, man.
Yeah, I mean, I've been stupid in the past when there have been times that I didn't think Kansas was going to win the league. And so you risk just being that stupid guy. Well, you know, Jake,
he's just hitting buttons
back
there.
Bubble team.
No, he just...
No. Yeah. I've been a stupid guy in the past.
I'll be stupid again.
No, but I mean, this is...
I'm trying to separate myself from the past, though, and realize like this is a different Kansas team. We'll see. Like I said, it would be the most Kansas thing through this run for them to go win in Lubbock, you know, against the odds, so to speak.
And they've been, you know, we're talking about it last week, right? Like, they have been better on the road for mm-hmm. whatever reason the other day, notwithstanding. But, like, this is one of the things that makes this more likely than, you know, than it otherwise would be. And I'm talking about the streak ending. Is that this has not come out of nowhere. You know, people that have watched Kansas, you know, have thought since November, December, ooh, you know, like, this team is not – they're a good team, you know. Top seed. They'll have a top four seed. Mm-hmm. They'll play in Wichita in the NCAA tournament because of that, all that stuff. But this is not a Kansas team. You know, this is not like Sfi, Mekhi Luke may sneak into the first round or whatever, but this is not, you know, lottery pick, you know, defensive player of the year. You know, they don't have that kind of thing. This is going to have to be, you know, Bill Self and, you know, sort of some guts and some luck and, you know, a whole lot of other things. And so far the luck has gone against them. You know, I mean, like, you know, if this is the year that it ends, you know, the story will include Sfi Mekhi Luke getting a black eye in warmups because a freshman missed a dunk and like threw his arm back and hit him in the eye. Like that's, you know, that's going to be part of the story that finally the school that gets every break, you know, the school, the program that gets every break, sorry, the school, the program that gets every break, you know, finally gets something to go against them.
And then, you know, it'll be the year that they dunked on themselves. You know, the LeGerald Vick dunking on his arm cell on their own team. That's part of the story. But I think there's a little bit, Stephen, of the boy who cried wolf, and I'm guilty of being that guy
because
I've said sometimes in the past, like I think this could be the year that they don't win the league.
Wolf
I'm constantly
wolf out,
you know, paranoid or whatever. But so then all of a sudden in November there were people, like you said, saying this is not a vintage Kansas team. This might be the quote-unquote least talented team, especially if they don't get Billy Preston that Bill Self's had during his 14-year run. And I think basically everybody goes, oh, sure, blah, 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 sure. Kansas, oh, hard scrabble Kansas. And then they jump out to the big lead in conference play right off the bat, and everybody goes, see, here we go again. Everybody said, oh, this is going to be a bad Kansas, or not bad, but this isn't going to be the same Kansas team. And so everyone kind of rolled their eyes at it, and I think what we're seeing now is, no, that was true. This team isn't as talented, and they don't have some of that same toughness that that the Bill Self teams have had over these last 13 years.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, they just have some holes on the roster, right? Like they used to have, you know, Bill Self is among the many basketball coaches that use this term. Like you have to have guys that can get you buckets when you run bad offense. When what you're running isn't working, you need some guys that can still get you some points. Frank Mason did that as well as any player in recent memory. Mm-hmm. Josh Jackson could do that last year. They just don't have anybody that can really do that. Like, you know, Mikhailuk can light it up if you give him looks. If he's got those spot up threes, he can light it up. Devontae Graham and Spurs, but they don't have that. They also need, and nobody should or will cry for you know, for Kansas not getting every McDonald's All American. But you know, Billy Preston, a kind of like stretch four with some skills, is exactly, you know, kind of what this team needs.
Oh, no, thank goodness that he left the country. He would ruin team chemistry if they brought him back.
Right.
You don't want that.
Right.
Back after this on WHB. Sam Mellinger in studio. All right, we talked about Missouri. We talked about Kansas. Kansas State was tied with Texas Tech at halftime in Manhattan on Saturday night. But then in the second half, they get outscored 39-20, lose 66-47.
Ask Fran Fraschello about it.
He was well, I don't know if you want to ask Fran Fraschello about that, but now K-State has to go to Oklahoma State on Wednesday after losing that game. I mean, they're still an NCAA tournament team, right? They're 17-8, 6-6 overall, but they've lost three of their last four. Thankfully for them, they were able to get that win at Texas, where they'd be riding a four-game losing streak right now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're a tournament team, but they got work to do still, you know, I think anyway.
They have three road games left at Oklahoma State, at Oklahoma, and at TCU. Their home games are Iowa State, Texas, and Baylor.
Yeah, I mean, they just haven't beaten anybody. The Oklahoma win, I guess, is nice, but I'm just looking at the ESPN projection right now, and they're first four team. So, you know,
I wouldn't want to be going into Stillwater this week.
Yeah, they're absolutely on the bubble. They just, you know, that record, when you say that, 17-8, 6-6 in the league, the Big 12 is the number one, I think, still, right, RPI league in the country. That should get you in, but their non-conference was so terrible, just absolutely horrendous. And, you know, they could have salvaged some of that with getting, you know, that Arizona State win. But, you know, they lost that, lost it. Really close game. I think they lost just by 2 points.
It would have been big to be Texas Tech.
Yes. Yeah. Obviously, that would. That was not.
But,
you know.
I mean,
yeah,
but at halftime, it was.
It was.
To me, that was so unexpected, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Just because they got trounced in the second half. I mean, they're just disappointing. You know, like I feel like, you know, and this isn't out on a limb or anything. They should be better than this by now. Like that. You know, this team with that core of juniors. Especially with what they got from Jara, like, you know, this is a team good enough to be a solid. There's no reason. Let's talk about this. The first segment of the show, we talked about Mizzou solidly in the tournament as a seven. You know, with that team, like, there's no reason that should be the case. And K-State should be a first four team right now that still needs to get some some good wins under their belt. That's Konzo Martin, you know, versus Bruce Weber.
3 weeks ago, it was the total opposite.
Sure.
And since then, they've lost three or four, and Mizzou's won four in a row.
This is not hindsight. I mean, I'm, you know, 3 weeks ago, I was still thinking they needed some good wins, mm-hmm. or this could be, you know, this could go down, you know, pretty quick. They need to be better than this by now. They need to be, they're too experienced, you know, and they're experienced in the right ways, you know, like, you know, guards and Dean Wade, you know, obviously not a guard, but has the ball in his hands a lot. They should be beyond this.
I had my infamous group of K-State buddies, the text back and forth. We're talking about how they felt like this was such a lost opportunity because, you know, with KU losing, they, you know, could have been right there tied for third place with West Virginia, a game out of second place, and they were tied at halftime, and they just got blown out of the water. And they started debating back and forth this whole Bruce Weber's future again thing because, like, the people that would say, no, you got to stick with him now because, you know, this whole team's going to be back next year. You know, they got a couple good recruits coming in, and they're you know, and but their attitude was, if Bruce Weber's not getting more out of this team right now,
yes,
why are you expecting them to take a big step forward? They're juniors. Like, juniors should be ready to win. Yes. And they've had their moments where they look like they are. And so maybe this is the time to go make a move because it's a really attractive job. Like, if you're a coach and you look at this roster of players and they're all coming back, you can step right in and actually win some games right away.
And to add on to that, doesn't it seem like this team played better before Stokes came back? Like, that's been a problem for this team.
Chemistry!
Like, no, that's been a problem for this team, is figuring out when to get him proper minutes, because a lot of that game against Texas Tech, I felt like he should not have been on the floor. Like, he's forcing the fact that Stokes needs to be on the floor, and this team looks worse when he's on the floor. And that's a problem.
Yeah, if we're talking about Bruce Weber's future, if they don't make the tournament, I think it's kind of an easy decision.
He's not going anywhere, is he?
But what if they do the same thing they did last year, make the first four, and then lose in the first round of the tournament? You know?
Do you think he's real? He's not with the fans. I'm talking about with Kansas City. Do you think he's really on the hot seat? Would they, if he didn't make the tournament?
If he misses the tournament, I think there's a chance. I don't know if I'd bet on it, but if he. Here's the deal. If he misses the tournament, I believe that I could make a more convincing case that he should be fired than he should stay. Now, I also believe that I could make a more convincing case that Bob Sutton should be fired than should stay. Mm-hmm. You know, like, these things don't always line up with your view or my view or someone else's view. I just what Nate, the point that Nate was just making,
whole hour
I think,
that
is the
you
one.
Mentioned Bob Sutton.
Sorry about that. I firmly believe this. Like, if you can't make the tournament with this roster, this has been so many years in the making, and he already got a little bit of a reset. You remember after his second year or third year?
Yeah, the Marcus Foster team.
Yeah.
He had run off all those guys.
He could have been fired then, and it would have been justified because there were a lot of, like, old, you know, sort of demons that were, you know, showing themselves again in his coaching career. So he's already got, in my view, a little bit of a, you know, stay of the executioner kind of thing. And to do again, you know, like this is a year they should be like a six seed,
so,
I think, and a possible Sweet 16 run with that team. Like, that, they're just good enough. Like, I think Dean Wade, how many teams can match up with Dean Wade?
Right.
You know, he's a problem. Barry Brown is a, you know, a hell of a, like, they've got some skill.
I think that the biggest fear for a lot of these K-State fans is, okay, yeah, if they don't make the tournament, it's an easier decision. If they do exactly what they did last year, uh-huh. and they're in the play-in game. Mm-hmm. You know, and then they go win a play-in game, and then they get throttled in the first round, just like they did against, was it Cincinnati last year that mm-hmm. throttled them in the mm-hmm. first round of the tournament? Mm-hmm. You know, that's where you go, okay, he can sit there and say, look, made the tournament 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. But K-State fans, a lot of them anyways, are going to be like, yeah, but you made zero progress. Yep. Teams should have been better. That, I almost think that's like their worst case scenario, and that's kind of what it looks like they're headed toward right now.
I can't imagine that he gets fired if they make the tournament. You know, even if it's a first four, and even if it's a first four and they lose, I don't know how many college basketball programs fire their coach after right. making the tournament. You know,
all right.
That's not a case that he should stay. That's just the case that he would.
Real quick, answer these questions on your way out the door.
Yeah,
Jerry Krasnick tweeted over the weekend that a couple of MLB execs think Logan Morrison has his eye on the Royals as a landing spot if Eric Hosmer doesn't return.
Yes.
Who will be the first baseman for the Royals opening day? Eric Hosmer, Logan Morrison, or someone else?
So every day that goes by, I think it's more and more likely that Eric Hosmer's coming back. I'm going to say Hosmer. But I'm like 52% sure about that. You know?
You wrote about Brett Veach, and the biggest difference is going to be his eye towards younger talent.
Yes.
Youth will be served.
Yes.
Do you think this is going to be an extremely active free agency period in offseason? Since they're keeping Bob Sutton, do you think we're going to see a major turnover on the roster, at least on the defensive side?
Yes.
How major?
Absolutely. I think up to, if you look back at the snap counts in the playoff game, 15 players played at least a quarter of the snaps, and I think there's a chance that up to 8 of those guys are not back.
That's major.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way you're thinking right now. And finally, how did you enjoy the rodeo?
I loved it. It was great.
It was not a rodeo. It was bull riding.
Well, yes. It was bull riding. Right. But I didn't know
that. How did you enjoy the rodeo?
Rodeo can be a verb. Like these guys, they say, I got to go rodeo this weekend. That's how they say. Those little dudes are freaking tough, man. Like these guys weigh like 140 pounds, and they are on top of 1,700-pound bulls that are I wrote that it's like Chewbacca getting ready, like an angry Chewbacca getting ready to punch you is the sound.
Whoa.
And that's as close as I could get to the sound that a bull makes when he's angry and in that chute and ready to, you know, do everything.
Would you like to do it? Would you like to try to ride a bull one time after seeing that?
No.
Take you to some county fairs. They'll let you.
I mean, I would love to sit here and be that guy and be genuine and be like, yeah. I'm inspired.
One
I want to do that. But no, I almost pulled a Chidilla there. No, I would not.
I took my daughters to see Ferdinand on Saturday morning.
How was that?
That was wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean,
John
like
Cena was good.
Yeah, very good. Very good children's movie.
Okay. By the way, Jay Heidrick pointed out that in 2013, K-State lost twice to KU, but won a share of the title.
That's right. Bruce Weber's first year. Yeah.
That was the year that K-State won like the Big 12 and like everything.
Yeah.
Or at least a share of it.
That's right. And then that was one of those times that you talked about where KU beat them.
Yeah, KU beat them twice.
In the Big 12 tournament.
Well, KU beat them twice in the regular season.
Yeah.
That's friends for show about it.
They both got trophies.
And then 3-0.
Yeah, 3-0. Yeah.
And then LaSalle in the tournament that year, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right
here at Sprint Center.
Yep.
Well, I remember that.
That's friends for show about it.
Sam, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you, guys.
That is Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star on Sports Radio 810 WHB.